Welcome, men, back to our Ephesians study. We want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank you for enjoying this study so far and thinking your way through it. And again, the title of this book of Ephesians is Knowing Our Standing in Christ. And we are excited now to be moving on to lecture number 15. And we're going to be looking on page 11, point number C, the spiritual household. The spiritual household. In that we have directives for the wives, for the husbands, for the children, for workers, and for managers. And the Lord Jesus gives us clear instruction here through the Apostle Paul on what our Christian life should look like in the home and in the workplace. So anyway, we're on page 11 in the handout. We are in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 22. So I am on page number 1992 in my NIV study Bible. Some of you may have the same one. So here we are, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." So under C, point number one, directives for the wives, in these three verses, the Lord tells the wife to submit herself to her own husband as to the Lord. Now, just remember, men, this does not say that we are Lord of our wives. Our wives have a Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ. But in the idea of order, we realize that Jesus submitted himself to the Father. Jesus is the one who said he did the will of his Father. And so there was even order in the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit, he carries out the directives of Jesus Christ and the Father. As we see order in the Trinity, God desires there to be order in the household. And so the wife is encouraged to submit to her husband as she would to the Lord, doing it for Jesus' sake. Because he says the husband is the head of the wife. He is the head of the family, just like Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The church belongs to him, and he cares for his church. He's the Savior of his church, of his body. Then in verse 24, he says, "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their own husbands in everything." And so when we submit to Christ, we do so in the sense that what Jesus asks us to do, it's always right. Jesus has never once asked us to do anything wrong. And so this idea of submission and us being the head of the home and having our wives submit to us, it's important that we know that what we ask of our wives is in line with God's word and God's will. We don't lord it over our wives in a sense. We're not the God of the household. Jesus is our God. But the wife is to model the submission to Christ or to the husband as we would submit to Christ. Now he moves on to point number two, directives for husbands. Now he goes on to much a greater length of writing here, because we have a much greater responsibility for us to be the head of the home requires a lot of responsibility. And so let's read, begin verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And why did he do this? To make his church holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her, his church, to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." So we are to love our wives unconditionally. That's under point number two. We are to love our wives unconditionally as Christ loves his church. And how much did Jesus love his church? He sacrificed himself for his church. And he did that so he could present his church to himself, holy, beautiful. He wanted a beautiful, spotless bride. And so we love our wives in a way that would bring honor to themselves and to us. Verse 28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. He goes on to say now, we as husbands, as we take care of our own bodies and we nurture ourselves, we feed ourselves, we clothe ourselves, he says we do the same thing to our wives. We are to care for them. And when we care for them, he that loves his wife loves himself. In other words, we have a clear conscience. The man who's not loving his wife and desiring to love his wife as Christ does will not have a clear conscience. And having a clear conscience is so important. So under point number two, secondly, we have serve. Serve your wife as Christ serves you in order to make you presentable. And then thirdly, care for your wife as yourself in order to have a clear conscience. So we're to love our wives, we serve our wives just like Christ serves the church, and we care for our wives as we'd care for ourselves. Remember, Jesus is constantly providing for us. Jesus is praying for us. He's interceding for us. He is our priest. Jesus is always working on our behalf. And that is how we care for our wives. We do the same thing for our wives that Jesus does for us. The more you get to know Jesus and the more you learn his ways and what he does for you, it just reflects upon your marriage. Then he goes on in verse 31 to quote the Old Testament, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." So as he's concluding this section, he just talks about this under page 11, the note, it says, the union of the husband and wife picture the mystical union or the unseen union of Christ and his church. This is what it comes down to. There's no greater picture. There's no greater expression of our relationship to Christ and our salvation than the marriage relationship. In the New Testament, Jesus has raised marriage to a much higher standard before than it was before the cross. Our relationships with our wives, God desires to use as a picture, as example of Christ's relationship to his church, which is his bride. It's considered a mystical union. Think of it this way. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, we cannot see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is unseen. But what we see is, we see when someone gets born again and the Holy Spirit comes into them, we see the result of that mystical union. We see the result of that unseen union. That person's life is being changed because the Holy Spirit is beautifying his life. The Holy Spirit beautifies our life for Jesus' sake. We as husbands and wives, our relationship should picture the relationship that the Lord Jesus has with his church. That is why we desire to teach our wives, to lead our wives, to minister to our wives, so that they would grow in a deeper understanding of Christ. And as the world looks on, they would see this beautiful union that is between the husband and wife. And people would ask the question, what makes you different? You know, in many cultures where Islam is present, men consider themselves the god of their wife, and the wife is the slave of the husband, and they can have multiple wives because they're basically there to take care of their needs and to give them babies. But it should be not so in the Christian culture. Jesus has raised the standard of marriage higher than we can ever imagine. The wife submits to her husband, and she submits because the husband loves her, and the husband's taking care of her and nurturing her and encouraging her, not treating her like a slave or a servant, but treating her like a bride. Remember what Jesus told his disciples. You're no longer slaves, you're my friends. And I'm making known to you God's will because now we have a much closer relationship. We're servants of Christ, but God calls us saints. That means we're set apart. To be a saint is to be a set apart one, a sanctified one. And our lives should reflect that beautiful relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the same manner, may it be that our marriages would be even greater and that we'd be growing in grace. This last December, my wife and I celebrated our 31st wedding anniversary, and we continue to grow deeper in love with each other and appreciate each other more. And we are thankful for it. Husbands, love your wives and pray to love them even more and pray to love them as Christ loves them. And you'll find that when you love your wife, she will learn and she will want to learn to respect you more and to honor you more and to submit to you as the scriptures teach. Now we come to chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians. We, on page 11, we're under point number 3, directives for children. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have long life on the earth. Interesting here. He says that children, it is right for children to obey their parents. And he mentions one of the Ten Commandments, and it's the first commandment that has a promise that if you live according to following your obeying your parents, that the chances are you're going to have much longer life on earth. Because we know what disobedience leads to. Disobedience leads to sin. Sin leads to death and corruption. We have all seen it, you know, whether in America or in Africa. We see what happens to disobedient children. They grow up to be disobedient adults, and they can bring a lot of sin in their own lives and destruction to themselves. And thinking about this, it's important as parents, again, as parents in verse 4, fathers, it says, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so what he's saying is, fathers, don't discipline your children or lead your children in such a way that you're going to discourage them and make them angry. You, as the Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally, we are to love our children unconditionally. And we are not to exasperate them, but we bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We teach them about the Lord Jesus from the time they're born. We teach them about the Bible. We teach them the beautiful stories about Jesus. Our desire should be to lead our children to Christ, that they would put their faith in Christ and grow up in a manner pleasing to God. And so the directives for children is obey and honor your parents as the scripture honors such an attitude. But remember fathers. Why does he not say parents in verse 4? Because the fathers are the head of the home. And there are times that my wife and I had disagreement on how to raise the children or how to discipline the children. But the father's the head of the home, and the responsibility ultimately lies with him and how you bring up your children. Well, we know from the book of 1 Timothy that God recognizes that the family and how it's run is a reflection of a good overseer. So in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says in verse 4 that the overseer, the elder, the pastor, he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner of full respect. It's the household. If you cannot be a father in your own home, and you cannot, if you want to say, minister to your own wife, lead your own wife and lead your own children, what Paul is saying is you can't lead the church. Terrible fathers and terrible husbands make very terrible pastors. That's just what it comes down to. Paul says that. If you can't lead your own household, there's no way you're going to be able to lead a church that's much bigger than your house. And so we need to think about that as pastors. Sometimes as pastors, we have to be careful that we don't become so busy in ministry and so much time is taken up with the things that we do that we ignore our wife, that we ignore our children. We our family must come first. As I had taught men here and in Kenya, is that when we serve our family, the tendency is we give our family the leftovers. We give the church the full meal and the crumbs we give to our home, our family. We must give our family what they really need. They need us. They need our leadership. They need our love. They need our presence. We can't always be gone. They need us there for them. And that is a responsibility of a husband to lead his wife well, and it's a responsibility of the father to lead his wife and children well. So fathers, do not exasperate. Don't not make your children angry. Don't do things that just make them, that discourage them. As it says in Colossians, you do those things that help them to grow in Christ. Now we move along to verses 5 through 8 say, slaves. And we really don't have as much for slaves today, but in Paul's day there were many slaves. That's a whole other issue to discuss, but in the days of Rome, in the times of Paul, there were many that were born. They were not Roman citizens. They were slaves. And would be very difficult for them to get out of that from becoming a slave. But Paul's encouraging them, so I would say today a better word for us is servants or workers. Servants or workers, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves or servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. So point number 4, the directives for workers, obey. Obey those who are in authority over you with a pure heart for Christ's sake, and serve the Lord as you would actually doing the will of God for eternal reward. Sometimes he's talking about a heart issue here. When he says about serving your masters with having respect and fear, he in a sincerity of heart, he is saying don't do it to be a people pleaser. People pleasers work hard when the boss is around, but when the boss leaves, they're lazy. He says, whether the boss is there or not, do your work as you would do it for Jesus if he was, because Jesus is with us all the time. And so he says, we want to serve because we're servants of Christ, and we want to do the will of God. Notice in verse 6, we want to do the will of God from the heart. We want to do it from the heart. We want to do it because our heart is in the right place. That's important for us. We all have struggled with this. I have struggled with this. But it really helps always to remember, you might have a crabby boss, you might be around crabby people, but you know what? We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will reward us for all eternity for what we do for his name's sake. Even for doing a job that might seem meaningless for God, he'll reward us for all eternity? Absolutely, yes, when we do the will of God from the heart. And then verse 7, he says, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord himself and not people. As if it were the Lord Jesus right there with you, do it for him. And he says in verse 8, you know that our Lord Jesus Christ will reward you. And you will be honored by your faithful attitude. Now in number 5, we look at verse, it's directives for managers. In verse 9, probably in Paul's day, the majority of Christians were probably workers, servants or slaves, and not masters. But he reminds them, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. So what he's doing is reflecting on the previous verses, and he's saying, just like the servant, he does what he does faithfully, not with eye service, not as a man pleaser, but he's faithfully doing the will of God from the heart. He's working for Jesus. You masters, you actually treat your servants, those underneath you, the same way. And do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with God. So under the directives for managers, and on point number 5, it says, respect your employee in the same honorable way without threats. If you have to use threats, you're already things have gotten pretty bad. And your relationship is very much broken down. And also, remember, you have the same impartial master in whom you submit. Our master is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of both servant and master. He shows no favoritism. Just because you might be a boss, it doesn't mean that he views you as any better. Matter of fact, you better be careful of your pride. As pastors, I'm going to say this very clearly. As pastors, we don't act like we're masters. Now, I've seen this in America, and I've seen it in Africa, where pastors act like they're the Lord himself, and they like people to bow down to them. When I was in Uganda last year, not in Lira, but in another location to the south, I saw young men bow and kiss the pastor's hand. I was very offended. And I had to talk to that pastor that the only person we bow to as human beings is the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not bow to men. We treat men with respect, whether we're a servant or we're a master, whether we are a church member or the pastor of that church. We must have a mutual respect for one another and a mutual love for one another. Jesus tells us, when we close this out, I want to read from you from Philippians. So if you turn in your Bibles to page number 2002 in the NIV Study Bible, or Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, Paul tells this, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, that's being saved and one with him, if you have any comfort from his love, which we do, if any common sharing in the Spirit, which we do, because all believers share the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, we do, then make my joy complete. And as I say this, my brothers, I say this because you are my brothers. We're equals in Christ. We share the salvation in Christ. We share the Spirit of God. I'm going to ask this. Verse 2, you can make my joy complete. And how do you do that? By being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, we're about to end this section right now, and what I'm going to have you do, before you move on to your question and answers together, what I would like you to do is read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And I want you to see the humble character of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 3 again. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking on your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Those are some very challenging words, and we all need to go back to this and remind ourselves that we are servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our example is Jesus Christ, and he is a tough example to follow because he showed extreme humility when he was on this earth. Because I want, when you think of what we just went through, the spiritual household, directives for the wives, the husbands, the children, the workers, the managers, I want you to come back to Philippians and think how this pattern of servanthood could help you be a better husband, a better father, a better worker, a better shepherd. Think about those things. So take the time now, for after you're done doing some your own questions and answers, reflect back on Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. May God bless you, and may you have a great time as you discuss these beautiful scriptures.